Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today's 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from our Gospel reading, St. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to focus on verses 8 and 9. The master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. This is the gospel of the Lord, and so we pray. O Lord, sanctify us by thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is one of those parables of Jesus that is hard to understand. In this one, you almost get the impression that Jesus is saying that he is impressed by this man, this manager, this man who is cunning and shrewd with his dealings, even though crooked, that they are somehow admirable. But just because bitter enemies can admire the other side's tactical and strategic ability in battle does not mean that they are at peace or would stop trying to take the other side out. No, but some of the creative ways people find to get around good and decent or just and honest living, we could say, wow, who would have thought it possible, right? But we have to be careful when we try to read too much into the parables of Jesus. They have usually just one point. I mean, you know the one in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, that parable about God being an unjust judge. When this elderly woman who was seeking justice for someone who had done her wrong, she doesn't leave him alone until she gets him to act. But really, is God an unjust judge? No. The point there is that God wants us to be dependent upon him and not leave matters alone until we have an answer. But what if the answer is only given in heaven? I don't think that ought to matter. God knows best. And what is best for us, he wants us, you see, to be all the time seeking his face, looking to him and him alone for our answers and the fulfillment of our needs. That is the point. Okay, but what is the point here in this parable? Simple. Don't do as they do. Don't use the mechanisms and the institutions of this world and expect them to work well for us, or those in them to play by any rules. Don't count on them to play fair. Christians will not do well in and with them, and most especially we should never use them in the church, trying for the results that we see out there, as if the same will be seen in here. Jesus tells us here that the sons of this world are more shrewd in the dealings with their own generation, their own people, than the sons of light. So watch out, Jesus is telling us. Expect to be beaten in their game. I say theirs because it is theirs and not ours. We may be in this world, but we are not to be part of it. No, we should not be of it, nor use their ruthless and dishonest means and ways to get our things or our things done. Even if we still can admire from afar some of what we see going on and how it was all accomplished. And Jesus' big point to his listeners, would-be disciples, future churchmen, and his point to us is this. Sure, go ahead. If that is what you want, do it. And you better do it well. If you are seeking what these things bring, for these kinds of friends, people who admire this and would admire you for doing them. But then, what is it that you want? Who do you want to be? What sort of a person are you looking to be? What kinds of people do you want to spend time with, your lives with, or how about eternity with? If you want to be with them, then go with them to where they are going. As when you persist in this, you will end up there if you do this kind of thing. But that is not us. We are not to be like that. Yes, even if we are used mercilessly, even if they take away all of what we have and beat us down, don't return evil for evil, says Jesus. Don't curse, but bless. Don't use their tactics. Don't enact revenge. Don't finagle. Don't run his kingdom like a business. Don't treat his children, your brothers and sisters, like they're customers. Don't look for a return on your investment. Sacrifice with no hope to gain, as you may never. But that, we are told, does not and should not. No, really, it does not matter, as our true and lasting treasure that our big brother already has us fully vested in is safe. But it's not kept here, not where people can take it or wreck it. We can't even devalue it as we would if it were here. God has us covered. Anyway, what they gain is all temporary. Ours is lasting and permanent. And anything that is supposedly lost here, we get it all back there. And even better and more in the end than they ever could take away. No, we lose nothing. Now, this is hard to live with. Hard to live in and under some of that, I know. We want our reward now. Yes, but then consider another parable, the parable of the prodigal son. This is us. It would be us if we had it all now. In our condition with this sinful flesh, this world with the devil here still dragging us down. But we at least want to see our doings, what we do, result in, well, results. Something gained, something. And we also want justice now. We want to see them pay now for this sort of injustice, these dishonest dealings that are done to us. We can pray that the end come soon, or even that God deal with our enemies like King David does in the Psalms. But will we pray, Lord, save them? Or instead, Lord, take them out? How has Jesus dealt with us? Yes, we can and do pray. Please come back, Lord Jesus, soon. End this mess and this painful existence. But do you know what that would mean for the end to come? It would be the end of the world and then judgment. But what about all those still who are lost and need salvation? Would we give them up for our comfort? Would you want to lose a fellow brother or sister because of our impatience? No. We also need to add, not my will, but yours, O Lord. Not my way, but your way. Not in my time, but when you deem it right. Right in any way, the fullness of time is when all who would be saved are. Jesus will not come back until that time. So we wait. So we trust, so we work, and so we suffer a bit with Jesus, and because of him and for him, and for our neighbors. Jesus' point in all of this is that just because fancy footwork and shrewd guile, smooth-talking scammery seems to win the day in court, the next day, or week, or year, we'll see that it all came to nothing in the end. They that seemed to win actually lost. They lose bigger than what seems to be gained. Let them have their day then. We will have our eternity. And then Jesus says, blessed are we. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.